I'm Stephen Duncan. Kevin, it's been a while. Where have you been?
Well, you see, I've been in my cave, and I've been trying to figure out the story to Kingdom Hearts, and I think I figured it out.
And this is the Level 7 Podcast. Welcome to the Level 7 Podcast. Today, we're talking about Diablo 3.
And we're talking about Pokemon Y and X.
And then we're also going to talk about Nintendo's big old news conference where they had like a bajillion revealed games.
Yeah, that'll be our main topic, so look forward to it.
Yeah, it's just the main topic of Nintendo. So, we've been gone for a while. We've been gone for a long while. I actually looked it up. We've been gone for over a month.
We're still getting likes on Facebook, so, I mean, obviously fans are still liking us, so...
Yeah, they like the reruns. So let's explain a little bit as to what happened and where we were. Because, well, so originally where we were was where we said we were. 2 weeks of Christmas vacation where I went back to the boonies to be with Kevin.
We had fun. We were cold. We ate at a sushi place, and then Stephen went home.
Yeah, I almost ate myself sick. The boonies have a lot of salt and fat back. It's glorious.
Catfish, baby.
Afterwards, when I finally got back over here to the desert, we had to take a little bit off because I had to get reacclimated to work, and I had to kind of rest up. You know, going back to the boonies and completely destroying your dietary system, you need a couple of days to rest up.
It was still pretty soon. It was within a couple of days we were going to record.
Right. And then my internet started crapping out, like, bad.
For like a week and a half, 2 weeks.
And I just now got it fixed.
And then he had to work for like a whole week. He had nothing but work crammed up his ass. So
exactly.
We just had to wait.
I almost lived at work. So I finally get some time off. This is where we've been. This is where we are now. I guess
and we have missed a lot of news.
We have, but we'll try to cover what we can and what we miss. Oh, damn well.
Yeah, we're picking the biggest topics here, and we're running with them. Everything else we feel wasn't either big enough or too old by now. I mean, two or three weeks old. Who cares about it? So.
Or I just didn't care about it because my
opinion
is the only one that matters. So without further delay, let's get into the actual topics. Blizzard is getting a lot of flack for Diablo 3, it seems, and the boss has told fans to direct blame at him. Is Blizzard trying to actually improve customer relations, or is it just a grab to save a failing game?
I don't think it's just Diablo 3. It's that they haven't released a new IP, and I can't even – I don't want to think of the time because it's probably too long, and – the last couple games that they've released, you know, sequels, Mists of Pandaria, StarCraft II, and neither of those did as well. I mean, there's people that still pick StarCraft over StarCraft II, and Mists of Pandaria, I bought it, and it was just garbage. So they need something to save Diablo 3, which is their only thing I think they have left that is redeeming.
You bring up a good point. I didn't even think about it. I would prefer to see Blizzard come out with a new IP. That's just what I prefer seeing. I see new stuff, like the rehash sequels. We got StarCraft II and Diablo III after clamoring for it for so long. After this, let's just move on. Or do something much more interesting with the Warcraft franchise if you want to beat that particular dead horse into the ground. I don't know if this is good customer service relations. I mean, it's you're just saying, hey, blame me.
It's just begging, really. That's all it is.
It is, and it's unfortunate. Diablo 3 is not necessarily a bad game, but they kind of came out and said we're kind of releasing an unfinished product.
There's a lot that I have problems with. The real world auction house alone makes me not want to play the game because I've heard of items going for $2,000 and $3,000 up there.
See,
and that's just not realistic. That's just not – I mean, I could never play that game.
No, and the auction house I don't know. It's weird because you don't really have to grind too much, but at the same time, if you have enough money, then you can just kind of breeze through the game. I'm not too big of a fan of that. Poor Diablo 3.
Oh, well. Nintendo knows you need to scratch your Pokemon itch every few years, so they have released a trailer and information for Pokemon X and Y. Steven, will you continue your addiction, and what do you think about the game so far?
So, scratching your Pokemon itch really sounds like a bad STD.
Oh, well.
So,
we all have that STD, Steven.
Do we all have it?
I don't know. Most people I know have the Pokemon STD, yeah. So...
So, I'm really, really excited for it because it's the first true 3D Pokemon.
I think it looks good. I love cel-shaded games, and it looks like Dragon Quest IX.
That's exactly what I thought. Is that it looked like Dragon Quest IX? That was my exact thought, and that's why I love seeing it. And it'd also be kind of cool to see the Pokemon in real 3D because you know you could kind of get away with showing Gyarados as a little sprite as big as your next guy, but in full 3D, you have to show him being 26 feet tall.
I think there's still going to be small, chibi versions, and I don't think that... If it's that way, I'm not going to like it, but if they're true versions, you know, if they're bigger, they look menacing, then I think it'll actually... I mean, it looks good. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll probably end up getting a 3DS just for that. I mean, it's that big. I mean...
And it's still Pokemon, so you know the gameplay is going to be good. Or it's at least going to be engrossing. And as much as I just said that I don't like the rehashed sequels, Pokemon's one of my guilty pleasures that I will go and buy the rehashed sequels.
I've heard people complaining because they didn't change pretty much anything other than the graphics, and I'm just like, I mean, really, after this many Pokemon sequels, I think you understand that it's, you know,
well, it's
grass
also,
starter,
yeah,
water starter, fire well, starter. That's
it's also, it's became refined, you know, after all the years, there were tweaks kind of behind the numbers that, you know, more in-depth people saw, and I'm really excited because Black and White did a really good job of introducing new Pokemon and then having those Pokemon be the only ones that you can catch at the beginning of the game. So it felt kind of new instead of having to catch like Pidgeys on Route 1 all over again.
I'm looking forward to it. So.
I am too. I really am. Microsoft has revealed on a new display technology called Illumiroom. Great name. Which fills the area around your television with bits of graphics from whatever game you're playing. Are you ready for your Xbox to, quote, go big in your living room?
I don't want any system to go big in my living room, but I don't know. It looks – if it pulls it off the way it does in the video, which I highly, highly doubt, that looked like – After Effects that they used. I mean, I seriously doubt that it looks that way because where's the light? Where's the image coming from?
I didn't see.
I mean, what in the hell? I don't. There's no information to it other than this small 1.5 minute video.
To me, it looks like projection. And as someone who works with projection every single day, I don't like projection as a medium. I really don't. I think our televisions are almost perfect for the consumer market. We don't really need to bring in too much extra stuff. There's just too many flaws when it comes to stuff outside of your television. Now,
all of the different surroundings you have, the colors for the game could be vastly different depending on what's near and behind your TV. You have a bookshelf near your TV that has tons of books that are different colors, and then it's trying to play this image off to the side that's like got 50 different colors because you have tons of books and stuff over there. I mean, I don't know.
And also the contours of your room would, you know, modify the image as well as the colors, which, you know, sometimes graphics do matter to gameplay. And if you can't truly gauge something that's coming up, you can miss a jump or miss a target or something like that because the image is warped.
Either that or all of the stuff off to your side of your vision that's, you know, throwing you off. What was that? Was that a rock or was that an enemy? I got to look over to my right now because my whole room is a TV, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, that's a little much, I think.
Yeah, just a touch.
Smash Brothers Melee was announced as the final game to be played at Evo this year. Will you be watching any of the action?
I will. And so let's give a little bit of a background. Evo is the giant fighting game tournament. It happens in Las Vegas every year. It's one of the two biggest fighting game tournaments.
Do you know what games are currently without Super Smash Brothers that are played there?
It's going to be Street Fighter for Marvel's Capcom 3, as usual. Then, like, Persona's going to be there, King of Fighters, I think it's 13. I'm pretty sure, like, Street Fighter Cross Tekken, and I'm missing some other stuff, but they needed one last little slot, so what they did was say, you know, donate money for whatever game that you want to be the final game. We're going to donate all the money to breast cancer research, which is really cool. I did like that kind of touch. And there were games like Skullgirls and some other fighting games, but Super Smash Brothers Melee, or Super Smash Brothers in general, is never really looked upon as a legit fighting game.
I don't know. I think in the last couple years, it has been.
People
put as much dedication into the game as they
do
Street Fighter.
I'm not saying that they don't. There is a large subset that does it, but it wasn't really accepted from the legitimate. And I'm using
you're right.
Yeah, I'm using air quotes, even though can't nobody see it. The legitimate fighting game community, the people who do play Street Fighter and stuff. So they're finally opening up to it because they got the most money raised. I'm looking forward to it. I don't really play fighting games. I watch a lot of fighting games, and Super Smash Bros. Melee is really fun to watch.
Yeah, there's a lot to it, and I think this will legitimize the game more. You know what I mean? It'll be looked at more as it's no longer a party game. It's an actual fighting game, and I think the game needs at least Melee. Brawl, not so much. You know, I was talking to you about that earlier, but, you know, Melee deserves the title of a fighting game just because of you can put rules to it, and it will turn exactly into the same strict confines as Street Fighter will. So
there's no reason
not to add it.
It has the community. It has the fan base. Mm-hmm. When I went to Evo last year, there were side tournaments for Melee, you know, all in the, you know, side tournament section or whatever. So I'm happy for it. I will watch it because it is fun to watch. I don't really care about the legitimacy of it. Because this is also the same community that loves the game Dive Kick.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, I mean, with all of the other crappy fighting games that they have there, there's just no reason Smash Brothers shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I'm going to look forward to it. I'm going to watch the action that I can watch. I'm glad somebody's going to be there. I think it'll be fun. But with that, we're going to take a break. Then we're going to come back and talk about Nintendo's kajillion game reveals.
We'll be back.
Fan of the show? Get regular updates on Facebook and Twitter at Level 7 Cast.
And we're back. Now
we're back.
Yeah. So the main topic today is a topic that really could have filled all seven of the topics for today's show, but because we don't want to seem too biased towards one company or another, kind of didn't decide to do it. That and talking for Nintendo for seven topics would bug me. That's a lot of repetition.
Take a few Nintendo topics out. So I mean,
they already have, you know, they already had topic two with Pokemon, and they get the main topic. They should feel grateful.
Plus, they get Super Smash Brothers.
That is true. I was thinking more of that for Evo. But yeah, there you go. This is a very Nintendo-centric episode. But everybody should know by now, Nintendo had this kind of news conference that they released pretty much through the Wii U, and then the gaming markets or the gaming news outlets picked it up. And it was basically just a whole bunch of reveals. And I don't want to go over every single reveal because not every single reveal appealed to me. And I'm pretty
sure all the big ones people want. Zelda, Mario, Yoshi.
Right.
There's no Metroid. There's no, I don't know, what else? I can't even think anything else that they would, I don't know, no Paper Mario. Just, you know.
Right. So there was one development that was kind of interesting to me. It wasn't necessarily a game. It was the whole paying $1 or $1.50 for your virtual console games. And basically what you can do is pay a dollar for the virtual or $1.50 for the virtual console games that you have to have them put onto the actual Wii U hard drive versus putting it on the what I'm calling the Wii emulator that is on the Wii U. So, and from my understanding, you know, the upscaling gets a little bit better, and or at least I can only imagine it's going to get a little bit better. And you also get Miiverse connectivity, so you kind of get some social media out of it.
Be prepared for Nintendo to nickel and dime you out of more games that you've already bought. Yeah. These are games you already own, by the way. You can't buy these games for $1 and $1.50.
Right.
You have to already own them.
But the thing is, you know, some people, I know some people are going to complain about it. You don't have to do it.
No, I'm not. I can only complain about it so much. You're not forcing you to buy it, but it still is. I mean, these are games. I'm not advocating but getting an emulator, but anybody can find an emulator. I mean, Nintendo's not even doing anything about it.
No, what I'm saying is you can still play the games on your Wii U. They're just going to be on the Wii side of your Wii U. Paying the extra dollar just gives you a little extra features. That's it.
Okay, I can see actually people doing that.
Yeah.
People pay for costumes and stuff all the time, cosmetic or DLC and stuff.
Yeah, and it's really – the reason they're doing it is because they're releasing the virtual console on the Wii U officially now, so you don't have to go through the Wii. I thought that was
– Other than this, I mean, are you looking forward to any of the games, the new 3D Mario from the Mario Galaxy team or
the new
Mario Kart game or what about the Zelda Wind Waker HD remake?
I'm pretty sure there are topics that you're going to get more in-depth on because, yes, I'm excited for the Mario titles. Yes, I'm excited for
– I'm just wondering if any of them – if which one sparks your eye more than the other one?
Well, I was going to get to that, but you cut me off.
Well, I mean,
exactly. So,
get to your point faster.
I can't. It's a genetic defect. So, I mean, I am excited for some of those things. The ones that caught my eye more, two of them specifically, were The Wonderful 101 and Shin Megami Tensei Crossfire Emblem, which is probably one of the worst names in the history of video games.
And it's one of probably the weirdest cross-ups that I've seen. I don't think I've seen a weirder one, to tell you.
It is, and it's really weird. So the girlfriend and I I'm a casual fan of Fire Emblem, and so is she, and we're both really big fans of Shin Megami Tensei, and we're still trying to figure out how they're going to do it. Like, it is the Fire Emblem world going to be the metaphorical hell that the Shin Megami Tensei games are usually put in? Are the Fire Emblem characters going to die and they're going to be put into the metaphorical hell that the Shin Megami Tensei games usually are?
You think it'll be a strategy game or a classic? It ain't going to be a classic RPG like, you know, Persona or...
Well, I think it's going to be more strategy RPG. And the reason I'm saying that is Fire Emblem is strategy RPG. And though Shin Megami Tensei is a classic RPG, it has delved into the realm of strategy stuff. So numerically, there's just more strategy, you know, share between the two. I'm excited for it because I like both those companies. I think anything with Shin Megami Tensei on it, I could take my wallet and I could like just throw my credit card at the screen at almost anything Shin Megami Tensei. So
even though you haven't played the Xenoblade Chronicles yet, they're also going to bring a new one of that over, and that sounds good. The other one looks beautiful, so, I mean...
Yeah, and the reason that didn't, like, catch my eye immediately is because Xenoblade Chronicles is waiting on my shelf to be played. But yeah, that's really good, too. I'm really happy about that. It gives you a reason to buy the Wii U.
I forgot. They also opened a new Super Smash Bros. Dojo. Where they, you know, the one online, the website where they slowly release information. Did you ever go to that? They did it before?
I've heard of the dojo, but I never really...
Yeah, they did it for Brawl. They did it from the very beginning where they released characters, you know, each time they were going to... Like when Sonic came out, they released it there first. So they're doing that with this. I just remember a lot of people got together and had fun times with that.
Yeah, so that'd be cool. And like I said, the other game I'm really interested in is The Wonderful 101. It looks like, I don't know, kind of a stylized Pikmin, like with more action, because you're controlling a whole mob of these little superheroes. It looks so cute, and it looks so funny. It just looks like it's going to be fun, if nothing more than the atmosphere that it provides.
Oh, yeah. Did we say New Zelda? I don't think we said New Zelda.
No, we said New Zelda.
Well, either way, it's an open world Zelda. I mean, it's Zelda. What can they do wrong with it? Just put some dungeons in there, put Ganondorf in there, give him a Master Sword.
Well, they say open world and stuff like that, but let's be real here. I mean, it's going to be as open world as a Zelda game can be, while still being Zelda.
Yeah, I don't know. Open world is a weird term. Is it like GTA open world? Can I just, like, you know, kill hookers on one side of Hyrule and come back to the other side? I mean, they need to be a little bit more informational.
Well, I said the two games I'm really looking forward to. Out of the whole thing, what sparks your eye the most?
For one, the new Mario platformer, the 3D one by the Mario Galaxy team. I like Mario Galaxy. Those are really creative. Doing something new with Mario, you know what I mean? Other than rehashing new Super Mario Brothers over and over again. And I don't know. Probably Shin Megaton X Fire Emblem. It's weird enough to where I'm interested in it.
I want to know if they're going to call it Cross or X, because Capcom says Cross. So I'm going to keep saying Cross because I'm apparently...
I hate Cross.
I know,
X,
isn't it?
X is better. X sounds better.
Well,
is too long.
They have to give it a, like a subtitle, though, so we can stop calling it Shin Megami Tensei X Fire Emblem.
I like that better.
What? No.
I'm going to call it whatever I want to. It's the game that has some of them characters from Shin Megaton and some of the characters from that one Fire Emblem game. That's what I'm calling it.
It's not going to be the one Fire Emblem game. It's going to be all, which is going to be weird because all the main characters in the Fire Emblem games all look the same. How are you going to tell them apart?
Well, some of them got blue hair.
And some of them have red.
Most of them have blue or red hair, and they look kind of like the same. It's like by the eyes, and it's like kind of spiky going down.
Well, what I'm saying is, you know that they're the main character, or you can tell them apart because they look like themselves in their individual games, but if you compare them to other characters in other games, they look all the exact same.
All I know is if there's not a berserker, and he don't have a 30% crit chance, and he don't crit you 100% of the damn time, then I'm going to be real disappointed with that game. You know what I mean? So
that would so you just brought up a really, really good point that I hadn't even thought of until right this very second. There's a thing, like, so you know what happens with the berserker with the 30% that always hits 100% of the time, right? Then there's
me off beyond no end.
Well, here's the thing, because you don't really know about this because you're not really into Shin Megaton yet. There's a thing called getting Shin Megatoned, which is you're really far into a dungeon, you've done really good, you've gotten all the really good treasures, and then you get ambushed by a group of enemies who all have insta-kill moves, who are only supposed to hit 25% of the time, and they wipe your whole party.
Yeah, that sounds kind of infuriating.
That's the link. That's why they're putting these two games together. Oh, we figured it out. We figured it out, Kevin.
We did something, actually. All right.
We're geniuses.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, so that's horrifying.
That's a good reason to put them together. They're both on both sides of the extreme where one critical can ruin your day. You know what I mean?
Mm-mm. Yeah. So that's, and of course I am excited for the platformers. You know, the Mario, the Yoshi's Island. So yeah. This is what the Wii U needed. People needed to see this. People needed to have faith in the system.
Oh, we won't see these games for probably a year, but I mean, when they come out in a year, we'll be talking about them again.
Well, so like all those games, though, that's a library. I mean, people will buy those games. I will buy those games.
Yeah, they make me want to buy the system. I'll give them that. The Vita hasn't done that yet, so, and they've had, what, a whole year now. So, I mean,
still, the Vita's killer app is Persona 4, even though Persona 4 has been out on the PS2 for years. Ugh. Poor Vita. I felt bad for the Vita, but we always talk about how bad we feel for the Vita, so we can change the subject.
Yeah, we're ending the topic with sorrow.
Yeah, we're ending
the poor Vita.
Yeah. So that's what we feel about Nintendo. If you have a different opinion and for some reason think Nintendo sucks more after this, feel free to contact us. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We have an email, level7cast@gmail.com.
We have lots of quirky ways to tell you you're wrong, so be sure to email us.
Yeah, we like hearing from you. So we're going to take another quick break. We're going to come back with the final three topics. We'll probably say something stupid at the end. And that's
peanut butter.
Want to hear more? View the episode archives at level7podcast.com.
We're back. Like we said we would be, because we're not liars.
I've got my peanut butter, so we're good to go.
That's good. I like how you just have just the peanut butter. No jam, no jelly, nothing like that.
Well, I usually will eat an apple with it, but right now I'm just sticking my fingers in there and coming out with peanut butter. So this will be the rest of this podcast is sticky, just so you know.
Fantastic. So let's get on with the next topic. THQ is going the way of the dodo and are now extinct. Among the brands that were sold, Sega has bought Relic, Crytek bought Homefront, Ubisoft got Montreal and South Park, and then fans around the world give a resounding cry of, wait, who's THQ?
Yeah, that's exactly what you were asking me was, what games does THQ make again? Because it's hard to remember. They used to be a bigger company, but lately it's like they were riding on the South Park game, which was coming out, and Relic had some games that – because yeah. Relic made Torchlight 2, yeah, which is decent. I mean, don't get me wrong, but it's not enough to keep a company afloat.
I actually have the THQ Wikipedia page up on my desktop right now because I really didn't know what THQ made, so this didn't really bug me. And they made games like, you know, Saints Row and Darksiders, and of course they had WWE and the South Park thing. None of those are blockbuster titles, and in this day and age, you either have to have a really smart business model, or you have to have a blockbuster.
And ain't none of them that, so. I would play the South Park game because it looked okay, but, I mean, Homefront, I mean, Metro, Saints Row, no.
Yeah, I've heard Saints Row is fun, but it doesn't.
Well, it's GTA. I mean, it's GTA with more pimps. That's all it is.
Yeah,
so,
it's a goofier one. Well, I mean, if you sold it to me like, hey, this is GTA, only it has a better sense of humor. Like, okay. It gets me a little bit more interested.
You need to say, it's like GTA, except you don't have no cars, and there ain't no city, and it's an RPG or a Mario game, then I would like it.
Oh, that's how you convince it. How would you convince Kevin to like GTA? Tell him it's not GTA. I got you. I got it.
But, THQ's gone, so we'll give them our moment of silence.
No, we won't. Next topic.
Oh, well. Fallout 4 may have been teased. The voice actor of 3Dog said to expect more of the character. What do you think it really is, and are you excited?
I'm excited. I really, because I like Fallout. I think Fallout's, you know, a pretty good franchise, even though I'm, like many people in America, only got into it in the third game. So it's not like I'm a hardcore, I'm not a hardcore fanatic of the Fallout series. But Fallout 3 was really fun. Fallout New Vegas would have been fun if it didn't kill itself due to bugs.
It's like they took a premise of let's make everything look like sand, and then there's some creatures that crawl out of the ground, and then that's the game. I don't know. I never really liked Fallout that much. I understand that it harkens back to a time of like Fallout 2 where you had to be really interested in what was going. I mean, really interested. Like, if you're not keeping track of ammo, and you're not keeping track of food, and you're not keeping track of all of that, I like RPGs, but there's a point to where I don't want to like feed
Well, okay, so you don't you don't necessarily have to eat or feed people. You don't have to do that unless you do hard mode in New Vegas. But I get what you're saying about, like, the ammo management. I did have a problem in Fallout 3 with ammo management, which was very frustrating.
See, ammo management doesn't bother me so much. I like Dead Space, and Dead Space, that's all that game is ammo management. But it also, it's not one color, you know, it's not just bleak desert.
New Vegas did a better job of it because it introduced some areas that had some green, some areas that had some blue and some white. I hope that Fallout 4 has more of these colors. It has a better color palette. Because you're right, that is a big thing about Fallout, is it is really brown. So hopefully they could.
I couldn't play the third one, or I could. I played it for about 2 hours, and then nothing looked different. I went to a couple different places, and it's just like, I mean, other than apocalyptic structure, you know, it's after like what, World War III or some crap. Everything looks bombed out, but that's the whole game is bombed out.
That's what I'm hoping it's in a better area. But no matter what, like, I'm always interested in like the places and the writing and the characters. So, I have something to look forward to. So, Metal Gear Rising: Revengeance looks pretty awesome. Will you be checking it out?
My PS3 broke. No. it looks pretty good. Don't get me wrong. I would probably kill you to take your PS3 for this game. I mean, just that dude who was coming apart. He's like Magnet Man. That's awesome, dude. That's some crap that I want. I mean, that's imaginative. I don't care if the gameplay is, you know, it may be no more than, you know, hit X and X and square over and over again in combo pattern, but just the bosses blew me away. I mean, that game looks awesome.
It really did look truly, truly amazing. And I do want to see what the normal gameplay is going to look like. This is what my fear is that I have to play through Metal Gear Solid 4 to understand the game. Because after seeing what you showed me, I really want to play this game, but I haven't beat Metal Gear Solid 4 yet because I got Metal Gear Solid out.
The thing is, you're never going to understand the storyline anyway, so it doesn't matter. I mean, anything that made sense from Metal Gear Solid 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 has been retconned and re-retconned. There's no reason to even care anymore. Just play it because it looks awesome.
Okay,
and it looks fun. I mean, it generally looks like a fun game.
As long as they don't mention the Lale Lule Lo. And if they do, I hope it's because they say, oh my god, the player is killing the Lale Lule Lo. I would accept that scenario.
Maybe every one of those people you kill is from that group. Now you want to kill those dudes, so.
No, because I don't want to get. No, they should give me the motivation. I don't want to give myself the motivation to play the game. They have to do that. That's their job. But it's going to be really cool because Kojima, who is out of his head, is now going to have you slash in and all the awesome graphics and like killing stuff and just cutting people in half. And then all of a sudden you have to the complete and utter, you know, brain shart that's going to happen eventually. And
it looks extreme. It looks like it takes the premise of the game and triples it, you know what I mean? Because didn't a dude, like, pick up, like, a couple thousand-pound pillar and try to hit him with it, and he, like, blocks it with his sword? It looks crazy, dude. I mean,
It is. I think it's going to be awesome. So I kind of want to end the show on a different note. One of the things we were going to talk about was what we're going to do with the gaming, you know, with the turn of the new year gaming-wise. I hate New Year's resolutions. So this isn't a gaming resolution. This is just what are your plans for the new year. And we got to be kind of quick because we are towards the end of the show and we are kind of running long. But Kevin, what are you planning to do this gaming year?
I already told you, but my plan is to beat all of the Final Fantasies as perfect as I plan to perfect them. I know you don't perfect things, but so nope. Much. You're like, you'll play it until you get bored, but I'll try to. I've got a point. and I'm going to try to do that with all of the games except for the online ones. But what about you?
So my thing is to catch up on the Wii library and to catch up on some other games. I've already gone through No More Heroes 2, which was fantastic. I'm in the middle of the last story. I did find I found a copy of Xenoblade, so hopefully I get to go through that. And there are some other games like Mario Galaxy 2 that I really want to go through. And I also, like, I never got around to picking up Dishonored, so I kind of want to at least try that. And then Fire Emblem is coming out here as at the time of this recording. It's coming out in a couple days. So that's what I'm going to be stuffing myself with. So, yeah, that's pretty much our... That's the first show of the new year. So
we got one out, people.
Yeah, finally. And hopefully it's not going to take another month and a half to get to the next one. And everything will kind of settle down. So...
Oh no, I spilled my peanut butter!
How do you spill peanut butter?
It's all over my keyboard!
So, until next time, goodbye!